Pat, how are you? Appreciate you being here, and congratulations, because you are going to be a contributing writer for a pretty cool magazine here in Lansing.
Yeah, the Greater Lansing Business Monthly. This month is my first bimonthly column talking about collectibles.
How about that? Just what you need, more stuff to do.
It's fine.
Well, in a story that I found on the front page of the Wall Street Journal caused me to call you immediately. The Wall Street Journal typically is about 7 to 10 days ahead of everybody else when it comes to news. You'll find that the Detroit News will get the same information maybe 3 or 4 days ahead of everyone else. And so when I saw this next story titled "The Price of Silver Soaring, Investor-Fueled 74% Gains Dwarf Gold Race to Open Mines," when I saw this story, I thought of Pat and called him to be on the program. Now, this story is written by two writers, and when I see two writers write a story on a beat that they don't cover regularly, that always causes my eyebrow to raise, because there's going to be something missed probably. But also, this story is something we've been talking about on the program for months because of Pat. He's been coming on here and telling us the lead paragraph says an unexpected surge of investor demand is sending silver prices soaring and speculators and mining companies are digging in. Well, I first thought, well, this isn't news because we've known about it forever, but it's been overlooked by a lot of other people in the media, hasn't it, Pat?
That's for sure.
And this, it's not an unexpected surge in investor. We've known about this.
Yes, I've been expecting to happen exactly what has happened over the course of this year.
Okay, so tell us about the story. What's going on with the price of silver? You know, I think if you, as you've elaborated a lot of people have paper that states that they own silver, but there isn't enough physical silver to give all these people their silver if they wanted it at one time, correct?
That's right, and that's part of the information that wasn't fit into the story in the Wall Street Journal yesterday. The article was accurate in noting there's a big, strong surge in demand for silver this year, and that is leading the way for about a 75% increase in the price over the course this year. But it then did not say, well, why is there an increase in demand? So I have written a column that'll be posted on the internet later this afternoon at numismaster.com, explaining 10 reasons why there has been a surge in investment demand. And that's basically that for several years, there has been a trend of major banks at the behest of the United States government taking large short positions in the silver market at an effort to help suppress the price of
silver.
What
does that mean, taking a short position?
That means selling silver, making a commitment to lever silver that you don't own, that maybe even doesn't exist. The United States government needs to have the price of gold held down, because gold is effectively a report card on the U.S. dollar, the U.S. government, and the U.S. economy. And if the price of gold is soaring, that makes all three of them look bad. So the U.S. government has a huge incentive to want to hold down gold prices. You can't do that in a vacuum. The silver market, in a lot of ways, parallels the gold market. So to hold down the price of gold, you also need to do the same thing in the silver market. And an effective way to do that is to make it appear that the market has much more silver floating around than may actually exist.
Well, that's a lie.
That's
right?
True.
They're deceiving us.
That's true.
Okay.
The London market is the world's largest market for the trading of silver. In theory, that market is for delivery of physical silver or whatever commodity is traded there at the maturity of the contract. So theoretically, there's 100% backing to all the open contracts on the London market. At the Commodity Future Trading Commission hearings in March this year, two different speakers testified that there was only 1 to 3% of the gold and silver in London's vaults to meet the commitments on the outstanding contracts in London. There just was no silver there, as people are pretending is the case.
And to show folks the difference in what's happening at the beginning of this year, calendar 2010, according to the story, the price of an ounce of silver was 16.822. Now, as of last Thursday, the price was 39.21 for a troy ounces. Is that accurate?
Actually, it was about $29.31. About an hour ago, I saw it about $29.55, about 75% increase from the start of the year.
How much is an ounce of gold?
That's a little bit below $1,400. It started the year at about $1,065.
So the government is scrambling now.
The government, through its trading partners, the major banks and allies, has been trying to slow the inevitable rise in the prices of gold and silver this year. And it looks like they're coming close to not being able to do that much longer, which is why some savvy investors are saying, well, I'm going to get on the winning side for when this all falls apart and the price explodes. I personally expect that in 2011, the price of silver will go up by a much greater percentage, you know, greater than 75% over the course of the year than has happened in this year.
So what does that mean to everyday people, and what does that show, what does that dictate about the state of the U.S.'s economy and fiscal solvency?
It doesn't say a lot of good news. There's some possibility that the U.S. dollar could fall dramatically in the next few months, and certainly by the end of the year. The 10-year Treasury interest rate since early October has gone up 35%. The reason it's gone up by that kind of percentage is that foreign investors anticipate that the value of the U.S. dollar is going to plummet significantly in the near future. Basically, most recently, as a result of the government's announcement that they're going to inflate the money supply, calling it quantitative easing.
So what does this mean for us, and what's the government missing?
Well, the government has been using this tactic of holding down gold and silver prices to hold down interest rates that it pays on the Treasury debt. It's a very strong reason to want to make that happen, but it's simply running out of tactics to use to continue that for much longer. And the day of reckoning, I think, is going to come up in 2011 or 2012.
Bottom line, the debt is killing us.
Yes.
And it's going to come to the forefront. All right, put on your soothsayer hat. What is going to happen a year from now? What do you forecast happening unless some of our policies are changed?
The hoped-for recovery in the U.S. economy just is not going to happen. In 2011, there's going to be tremendous loss of jobs in state and local governments, so that even if you're hoping that the private sector might have some kind of recovery, it's going to be more than offset by the cutbacks in governments because their funding is falling, which will also affect consumer demand, which will fall back on the private sector. The U.S. dollar, I expect to drop significantly in value from its current state. I mean, easily a 20% decline relative to other currencies, possibly more. And it's not a crazy notion to think of the possibility that maybe in the next year or two, the U.S. dollar as a currency could fail and have to be replaced.
In looking at this, is the same thing likely to happen here that has happened over in Greece and over in Ireland and Portugal?
The financial situation of the U.S. government is actually worse than Greece or Ireland or Portugal. The one saving grace the U.S. government has is that the U.S. dollar has a past track record of serving as the international unit of commerce. So there's been a strong demand for currency outside of the U.S. that has sort of subsidized poor economic and political activities in the U.S. That is coming to an end. For instance, the government of China is aggressively pursuing treaties country by country, where instead of settling payments between the two countries in U.S. dollars, they will be settled in currencies of primarily China, but or it'll also be the other country's currency rather than the dollar.
How possible is it that we could be using a newer currency, going to another currency?
Say 10 years ago, it might sound like a crazy idea. It's actually being the idea of a replacement world currency, you might say, to displace the U.S. dollar is actually being talked about at meetings by the International Monetary Fund, the G20 Group of Nations, the Bank for International Settlements. So it is not a crazy idea anymore. It's actually being considered officially.
And before we let you go, what needs to be done to fix this problem, and do you see that occurring?
Unfortunately, I don't think that it is a problem that can be fixed. I have been told by friends of mine who have discussed with some high-ranking politicians in Washington, off the record, is the United States beyond the point of no return? And the answer uniformly is, yes, it is. But if you dare tell anybody that I said that, you know, it's going to be bad news for you.
So, why are we burying our head in the sand? Are they just kicking the can down the road? They don't want to deal with it?
A couple of Sundays ago on the 60 Minutes program, a famous analyst who was ahead of the curve on the banking problems of the last couple of years was asked that very question, and she said, people just don't pay attention to something like that until they have to or are forced to.
All right. Patrick, obviously we're going to keep following the story as we have for at least 9-10 months. Thanks so much for your time. And for people who want to read more about your thoughts on this, where can they get that information?
This afternoon, my article, augmenting the Wall Street Journal article, you might say, is going to appear on the internet at a website called numismaster.com, N-U-M-I-S-master.com. I'm going to go back to my office and write a follow-on story to this, which should be appearing on the internet later today or latest tomorrow morning on another website called coinupdate.com.
All right. Patrick Heller is the owner of Liberty Coin. He's a frequent contributor to the Tony Conley Morning Show on 1320 WILS. This is very, very important, Pat. We're going to be talking about this a lot more. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Tony.